2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15 and 16. The first service, we began to look at the present day ministry of Jesus. Mind my voice, I've been speaking every day, including today. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. Someone said, are you a preaching machine? So that's why I'm alive. Praise the Lord. All right now. We're looking at the present day ministry of Jesus. What is he doing now? Today in the earth. And so in the first service, we looked at what is he doing in the church. What is he doing about the church? And we said he is an intercessor. Romans 8:34. 1 John 2:2, Hebrews 7:25, Hebrews 10 verse 10 to 14. We examined a couple of things earlier in the morning. Now I want to proceed further on that, and then we'll look at some of the things about this ministry of Jesus. 2 Timothy chapter 3, 15. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ. So we said, the scriptures are about salvation through faith, which is found in Christ. All scripture, verse 16, is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, primarily didascalia, to explain, to teach, to direct, to instruct. And for reproof, which is the word to give evidence or to persuade, for correction, epanathosis, that is to improve or to make well. For instruction in righteousness, where you have the word patio, that is to train up a child. And so the first question we want to ask this morning into the afternoon is, why did Jesus come? What was the reason for him to come? It looks simple, but you might be shocked, and many don't know. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. 1 Timothy 1, 15. This is a faithful saying. 1 Timothy 1:15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ came into the world to make us rich, of whom I am a chief. That makes sense, right? If you're an African, say he came to make us rich, of whom I am a chief. That's some depth. How about that kind of rhema? Is that a good rhema? Inside, of whom I am chief. Chief Paul. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. That's straightforward, right? That's straightforward? Of whom I am chief. Paul. So that shouldn't be difficult to understand, I think. John 3:16. Let's go. Whosoever believes in him shouldn't perish, but have everlasting life. That is, he came to give us no condemnation. The next verse, for God sent not his son to the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So, the opposite of condemnation is what? Salvation. Is that clear? The very opposite of condemnation is what? Salvation. Okay? John 5:24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believes on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come unto condemnation, but is passed from death to life. See, I passed from death to life. All right. So, Jesus did not come to the world to give us anything temporary. So it's an insult to relate his work to making man physically rich. And that's a terrible gospel out there. I remember I was teaching in a class, actually, not to a particular person. We were trying to look at 2 Corinthians 8:9. It says, For we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, even though he was rich, which was not true. Jesus was not rich in the earth. He became poor. And I asked them, how did he become poor? Did he steal his goods? Did he do a transaction? He lost the money? And everybody's looking. I said, did you know that Jesus never had a house of himself? Do you know he never funded the ministry with his own money? He didn't have enough money to do that. And they're looking. They said, then if you say, he became poor so that you through his poverty might be rich. That will assume that everybody who is not saved is poor. Not true? Not true? But that's not true. So that takes your thinking away from physical wealth. Anyway, Jesus didn't come to the earth to give anybody money. That's not salvation. He didn't come to the world to make anybody rich. In fact, he oftentimes made a distinction with the rich. Look at Luke 12. Luke 12. Obviously, Luke 12. He never used wealth as a sign of God's approval on anybody. Not once. The apostles never did. Any gospel or message that uses wealth as a sign of approval is a false teaching. That's what it is. It's like saying someone breathes. It means God has an approval on him. You know, it's a natural phenomenon. Luke 12, Jesus mentioned a particular person in verse 16, a ground of a certain rich man, it is a certain believer, I said a certain rich man, brought forth plentiful, alright, and then the man had so much, he had enough in the stock market, he had properties. Okay, so the man made a lot of noise, and then in verse 20, and God said, fool! How about God talking to you in the first and says, fool? God says you're a fool, it's likely to be permanent. I don't take that seriously, okay? He's a fool! This night the soul shall be required of thee, then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. So Jesus mentions a man who has as having treasure to himself, but not rich towards God. So whatever I have in my account is not towards God. That's clear enough. So he in no way used material wealth as a proof of God's approval. In Mark's Gospel chapter 10, you could talk about a rich man, rich young ruler. Mark's Gospel 10, the rich young ruler that Jesus said, go and sell all you have. And in verse 21, and give to a pastor. No, give to the poor. Amen. How about thinking it like that? Sell all you have and give to the church. No, to the poor. He didn't say give to the man of God. To the poor. And obviously the man had enough. Now for some of us, you could do this easily. You're done. No big deal. I just do a transfer. Then you transfer. Okay, let me leave it. But he has enough to go away. And then Jesus says, how hardly shall they that trust riches, that's actually the word there, enter into the kingdom of God. It's not about wealth, it's about the trust. So in verse 27, he mentions how it's impossible with men, but possible with God. So he makes a distinction between the rich. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17, Paul says to Timothy, watch this now. He says, charge them that are rich. In other words, Timothy was not rich. Alright? Charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded. That's what he said. So that means the church had those who were rich and those who were not rich. So being rich wasn't the testimony in the church. No, today the testimony in the church. Brethren, come and see the life of our brother. When he entered this church, I remember the first day he came. Even the ushers could not usher him. They thought he was just the outside. Look at him today. Did you see the beast he brought up, the car? That car is a human being. Is our God not working in this church? The church, the God in your church is called Mammon. It's only where they preach Mammon that things like that are celebrated. In the church of God, we don't give testimonies about money. Do you hear me? Let me say one more. In the church of God, we don't give testimonies about promotion at work. That is for those who worship Mammon. Okay? We're thankful to God for everything, all His blessings. But most importantly, we're grateful to God where we differ from the unbeliever, that we're thankful to God for the gift of salvation. Because the unbeliever can equally thank God for what you're thanking Him for. But we're grateful to God for the gift of eternal life. See, I'm grateful to God for the gift of eternal life. Look at this. So Paul says that those who are rich in this world. Look at what James says. James 5. James 5. James 5. James 5. Not too nice, this one. Go to now, you rich man. Weep. What? What does weep mean? The Greek word. Cry. How for your miseries shall come upon you. Not nice. Your riches are corrupted, your garments are moth-ridden. Your gold and your silver is conquered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you. You shall eat your flesh is the way, you shall be heaped treasures together for the last days. Behold, the ire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is your kept, bought by fraud, cries, and the cries of them that have reaped in the earth and the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. You have eaten pleasure on the earth, and in one time you have nourished your hearts as in the day of slaughter. You have condemned the children of just, and thus God resist you. No. Not nice. No, let's leave this verse quickly. Come on, get out of it quickly. Then that's you. You don't read down for yourself in Christ. Say, who I am in Christ. Say, that's not a mirror. That's a side mirror. You know that, you know. Okay now, Revelation now, one more. Chapter 3, verse 17. Because you say, I am rich, your confession, and increase with goods, and have need of nothing, and knows not that you are wretched. What? And miserable, poor, blind, and naked. He said, you have money, you have houses, you have gold, you have everything you're looking for, and you're saying it, I am rich. It isn't because you are rich, no, because you say it. You make a boast of it. You talk about it. That's your testimony. So do you know you are actually miserable? That's what he said. He said, you're miserable. You are wretched. What? You're blind. What? With all my money? Exactly. That's what he said. So we don't use that. Now, you know what he said in James 2:1? He says, do not have the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ with respect to persons. In other words, with respect to what people have in the natural. You know, naturally, if I see someone, it's just natural. If I see someone come down from Marwa, I say, hello, bless you. Then someone come, he has a convoy of cars, and the pilot vehicle is my vehicle. That's a pilot car. It's my car. Kind of my car. Then he comes down. He don't say, bless you. You must be coming here. In the natural. He says, that is not understanding the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ. So in other words, it's not a way to reckon with people. So quickly. So Jesus didn't definitely come to the world to make anybody rich. Okay? Financially. People were rich before he came, they were rich when he came, they were rich when he left. And they will always be rich. Praise God. Okay, let's move further. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 10. Why did Jesus come? Why did Jesus come? 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 10. Let's take it together. Okay, let's start from 9 actually. Alright, let's start from 8. Verse 8. Be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us in holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Let's take verse 10 together. But it's now manifest by the appearing of our Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and has brought life and immortality to life through the gospel. He said he has abolished death, which is the word katagio. K-A-R-T-E-G-O. K-A-R-T-E-G-O. So he uses the word katagio. It means to render ineffective. To render ineffective. You see the same words in Romans 3.13. Romans 3.13. Romans 4.14. Romans 3.13, 4.14. Romans 6.6. Romans 3.13. Romans 4.14. Romans 6.6. Romans 7.2. And Romans 7.6. And very vitally, 1 Corinthians 1.28. 1 Corinthians 1.28. 1 Corinthians 2.6. 1 Corinthians 6.13. And 1 Corinthians 13.8 and 13.10 and 11. I'll take it again. 1 Corinthians 1.28. 1 Corinthians 2.6. 1 Corinthians 6.13. 1 Corinthians 13 verse 8 two times. 1 Corinthians 13 verse 10. And 1 Corinthians 13 verse 11. Every time you read that word, katagio, it means to render ineffective. It doesn't mean that it will not exist at all. It just means it loses its hold, just like your ATM card. When it expires, the way you put it in the stuff and doesn't do anything. So in other words, there will be death, but it won't do anything. So when it says he has abolished death, it means he has rendered death ineffective. Pay attention to something here. Then again in 1 Corinthians 15 verse 24 to 26. Same thing about death. 1 Corinthians 15:24 to 26. Write this down. 2 Corinthians 3:7, 2 Corinthians 3:13, and 2 Corinthians 3:14. Talking about the law, the Old Testament. Though the Old Testament is still written somewhere, but it's abolished. 2 Corinthians 3:7, 3:14, sorry, 3:13 and 3:14. 2 Corinthians 3:7, 3:13 and 3:14. Now, Galatians 3:17 as well, but let's look at one more. Galatians 5, 4 and 11. Galatians chapter 5 verse 4 and verse 11. Christ is become of no effect unto you. That's the word, no effect. Abolished. Can you see what it means now? No effect. Galatians 5, 4. Galatians 5, 4. Galatians 5, 11. Then is the offense of the cross ceased. Same word, abolished. No effect. Ephesians 2.15. Ephesians 2.15. And 2 Thessalonians 2.8. So when it says he has abolished death, what does it mean? It's of no effect. It's of no effect. Now, it's not saying that... Okay, I'll get to that shortly. It's of no effect. So the first thing we said, Jesus didn't come to make anybody rich. That's clear enough. Huh? That's clear enough. Then in the church, we do not celebrate people having material possession. Was that clear enough? Was that clear enough? That clear enough. We saw that. We don't celebrate it. Do we give thanks to God? Yes, we do. But we don't celebrate it. It doesn't mean that the person who has is seen as enjoying God's favor over the person who doesn't have. The moment we do that, that becomes a false gospel. We don't celebrate people's earthly and material well-being. That's why the book of Revelation says, you say that I am rich. You don't say that. You don't make a boast of that. In fact, the most miserable person, as it were, will be a preacher who boasts about his earthly possession. I've done it before. In my misery. It's wrong. A preacher of the gospel should never be found boasting about his earthly possession. That is misery of all. It means you don't understand the gospel at all. Is that clear? So Jesus didn't come to make you rich. Let's say one more, and that's not too palatable. But Jesus also did not come to heal the sick. Did he heal the sick? Yes, he did. But the sick were being healed before he came. Exodus 15:26. I am the Lord that healeth thee. Was that equal to that saveth thee? No. Did he heal their sickness? Huh? Come on. Did God heal their sickness in the Old Testament? Talk to me now. Did they believe him? Did they believe the gospel? Oh, that's better. Did they believe the gospel? Did they please him? No. Did he heal their bodies? Yes. Did they believe the gospel? Did Jesus heal the sick in the four gospels? He healed thousands of them. Did those who were healed, did they believe the gospel? No. So, being healed of sickness is not equal to believing the gospel. You can be healed of sickness and believe God for a miracle and get the miracles, and you don't believe in the gospel. And that's something we have to be careful of in Nigeria, because people are desperate to solve their present problems. And so the moment you preach that problem with a solution for that problem as the gospel, you are going to have a false Christian. Because what he sees in Jesus is a meal ticket, or sickness healed by Jesus, or somebody who helps my problems, you know, and that's not the gospel. The gospel is in spite of my present circumstance. It has nothing to do what I'm going through, whether I go through it or I go over it. The gospel is about the eternity of God's life, the eternity of my relationship with God in Christ, which is called eternal life. That's what the gospel is about. So the moment that is passed across to us as the gospel, we have a false convert or a false Christian. So, get back to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 2 Timothy chapter 1. He has brought light and immortality to light through the gospel. The word immortality there, again, implies is the word aphasia, A-P-T-H-A-R-T-S-I-A. Let me take it again. A-P-T-H-A-R-S-I-A. A-P-T-H-A-R-S-I-A. You find these words in this place. Romans 2:7. Alright. 1 Corinthians 15:42. 1 Corinthians 15:42. 1 Corinthians 15:30. Well, let me take it again. 1 Corinthians 15:42. 1 Corinthians 15:50. Then 53 and 54. And they're talking about what we call the rapture. That is the glorifying of the body. 1 Corinthians 15:42, 50, 53 and 54. And Ephesians 6:24. So Romans 2:7, 1 Corinthians 15:42, 15:50, 15:53, 15:54, and Ephesians 6:24. So this doesn't mean that the man who has received light and immortality through the gospel will live on the earth forever, in the sense of he won't die, as we say, die. It simply means that death has no effect on him, because he's going to be alive forever. Watch something. After Paul said this, in chapter 4, verse 7, the same person who wrote this, he said, I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. The time of my departure is at hand. Just like Philippians 1:23. So we don't call it death, we call it a departure. He departs this body, which is mortal, alright? He departs this body. But he is not dead, because he is alive. So we say a believer has passed on the glory. When we say glory, we simply mean he has left this body, which is not glorified. That's what it means. Why? Because God has brought light and immortality to light through the gospel. So Jesus came, don't forget, he came to save from sin. Never forget that. He came to save from sin. Christ came to this world to save sinners, Paul said, of whom I am chief. So we said in the first service, that what is his first, his ministry today, Romans 8:32. He who spared not his own son, but gave him up for us, or gave him for us, delivered him up for us, shall he not with him freely give us of all things? Then we said in verse 33, who is he that condemneth? It is God who justifies. So we said the word who is the word what? What? Can you remember that? Romans 8:31. If God be for us, what can be, not who, because it's not talking about a person, it's talking about the charges of the law, an accusation about sin. That's the law. Romans 5:13. Sin was in the world, but sin was not imputed where there was no law. Is that very clear? So what can bring any charge, anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God who justifies. Romans 8:34. It says, who is he that condemneth? Pardon me. It says, it's Christ that died, yea, rather, is risen again, and is at the right hand of God. And what does he do? No. He has interceded. He's at the right hand because he has made intercession. Now, you remember we said that in the first sentence. So we said, his intercession is not against us, it is for us. So, anytime you hear about Jesus, and he is against you, that is another Jesus. Anytime you hear about Jesus, or you see him in a vision, or a dream, or a nightmare, that person is not Jesus. Paul says, Galatians 3, verse 1, evidently set forth, can you remember that for service? Crucified among you. That is, you must see Jesus firstly in the written word. Firstly, in the written word. So, any encounter you have of Jesus, anything you see of Jesus, that doesn't line up with the written word Jesus, is another Jesus. And we see, in the first service, we looked at all the appearances of Jesus in the book of Acts, and we saw that it was consistent. He is not against us, he is what? For. So say for us. Say for. Say for. So, he is against accusation, but he is for us. You say that in the first sentence. 1 John 2:2. Let's see it together. 1 John 2:1. These things write I unto you that you sin not. If any man sin, let him pray to God. Is that what he says? If any man sin, let him pray to God. I remember a sister in our ministry years ago. I hadn't seen her for a day. For a lot of days. So I went to check on her and I found out that she was in the house. She didn't leave the house. She didn't go to work. Right. What happened? So I saw that she looked very sober and I said, Stephen, what's going on? She said, well, something happened to her. Let me save you the details, but it was not fornication. All right? When you say, let me save you the details, I said, in some people's minds, behold the Lamb of God that took away the fornication of the whole world. That's the way it sounds. shall we continue in fornication that grace may abound? That's the only thing in their minds, you know. And that's because that's the battle that they have. Praise the Lord. Not you. I trust you. So she told me, and then she said that she now went to another minister of God, a prophet of Crete, who told her to go on fasting and prayer for 40 days. And then she'll break on the seventh day of every week and take pap. You know, so when she said all that to me, she was looking sober and she's saying, and I said to her, I wish I came on the 40th day. Because coming on the third day or fourth day or so wasn't nice. Say, why? I actually wish you went through the 40 days. How would you, after what I taught you, how would you go and be fasting for forgiveness of sins? You should not be forgiven. You know? So I drove by away from the praying mat. So I eat. Nonsense. Forgiveness of sins is a gift. Those who were killing Jesus, as they were doing it, they were forgiven. You don't believe? You have to. So what do I do about what I've done? You walk in the Spirit. Praise the Lord. And what you do? That's another day anyway. So, the present day ministry of Jesus is for you.
Well, what about the book of Revelation?
Why are you not around for so great salvation?
What about the book of Revelation?
So we leave the old Bible and go to that verse.
I have one thing against you.
And most of those who use that verse, that issue is against them. You know, I showed you. It's actually against them.
I have it against you. I will take away your salvation.
Revelation 36 verse 4. It's always for us. Praise God. Hallelujah. So whenever we see Jesus, there was a lady in 1994, she was giving a testimony in church about how she saw Jesus. She mentioned the nails, the hole in his hands, still dripping with blood. That's not lovely. That kind of serious blood, 2,000 years still dripping. Beautiful. Even the apostles didn't have that kind of revelation, but that's beautiful. And she said she saw him, and then he told her certain things. He gave her a time limit, that this time, if you don't do this, I will totally, you know, Jesus said there, that I will remove your name from the book of life. And told her some other things that she had to do, if you don't do this, and all that, the reason for her salvation, so that she can accomplish the work, that if she doesn't do that work, our salvation will be threatened. Now, as she was saying it, the fellowship, everybody was in fear. Because she's highly respected, no earrings, all dressed like Mary Celeste, or she's looking lovely. You know how Mary Celeste dresses, how do you know what I'm talking about? All dressed nice, like Sound of Music. She's looking... You know, we always think that when someone has long skirt, no makeup, he hears from God. And when someone's just like you, you think you're fine? Look for somebody else. Looking lovely. You know, how can God talk to this? In our warped minds, we think he's the one who has no earrings so she can hear well. She doesn't wear trousers or skirts. Acting like Loma. What is Loma? Loma is an agency in Lagos City, Nigeria that takes care of trash. And then they say, that is the person God will speak to. Or someone say, well, I just got fasting. I'm just coming from the mountaintop. I've been there for 40 days. What did God say? Does God resemble John the Baptist? He has to go to the wilderness. And he's staying there. And God wears white. He has no, it's wild honey. No. So as she finished that testimony, the whole fellowship goes. Then she sang a song in Yoruba. I won't sing it in English because you don't have to know it. So as she finished that story, everybody is so, and she also felt really anointed. I knew if I tried to correct her there, the kind of abuse you give me. You know, people, very holy people can abuse. You know, I was there. When they are done with you, you will give them your salvation and say, go, just go with it.
You know, I took 3 months now explaining to her, until one day, I was sharing with that person. She said, ah, bro, this, that means it was not Jesus I saw. I said, yes.
I've been trying to say this for 3 months. Thank you very much. But the point was, we can't go back to all the people she spoke to. Many of them till date wouldn't have that kind of Jesus in their heads. I see it how they dress. How did they dress? How do you know what I'm saying? God will judge you. So Jesus must be consistent. That's what we said in the morning. He must be consistent. So if you see another Jesus, Paul says, let him be accursed. Whoever brings that to you, let him be accursed. You see another Jesus in a bus, talking to somebody on Lagos about the expressway, let him be accursed. You see another Jesus with an old man, and then he wants to blow trumpet, and no, let him be accursed. If you see another Jesus, what other one do you have? Come on, help me out. How do you know this guy, Jesus? You don't know? James, you should know. Huh? You know any kind of Jesus? You've heard about. Okay, the one you've heard about. The one that gives people last chance. Last chance. Even though the Bible says 70 times 70, but he doesn't like it. Last chance. He says 70 times 70, you forgive. But the one in the vision says last chance. You want my blood to waste? That. So, if you see that kind of Jesus, he says, give it a last chance too. The next time I see you, before you give it, let me give you a last, the next time I see you in any dream, what I will do to you, you'll go back to the cross. Hallelujah. So, you'll be consistent. Now, so, Jesus has become the propitiation for sin. For John. Oh, I said you open the 1 John 2:2. I never read it. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, who is a propitiation for our sins. How about that? How about that? How about that? Are you happy about that? Or does it make you happy? Why now? Why? Why is Jesus doing this? You know, say why? But why? But why is Jesus the provision for our sins? He should leave us alone, he should go to the world. We can take care of our own. No. He is a propitiation, the word elasmos. He is a satisfaction for our sins. Not only ours, but for the whole world. Same thing, 1 John 4:10. Romans 8:34, he makes intercession for us. Hallelujah. Hebrews 7:25, he said, this man, alright, has an unchangeable priesthood, verse 24, for he lives forever. He says, he is able to save, hallelujah, unto the uttermost. Praise God. Woo! Glory to God. He saves forever. If the salvation you have is not forever, Jesus didn't save you. He saves forever. Into eternity. Amplified says, into eternity. Them that come to God through him. That's what he does. Hebrews 6 and 20 says, he is gone behind the veil. We have an anchor, steadfast and sure. So, that's what he has done. And that's what he is today. He is our mediator. He is the ransom. He is the intercession. He is the satisfaction. Praise God. He is the advocate. He is always for us. Say, he's always for us. No. Say it like you mean. Say, he's always for us. You know, maybe us. Maybe two people. Say, he's always for me. Say, he's always for me. So, what he has done is not against, it is for. Is that very clear? So, his ministry is not against, his ministry is for. Now, look at this quickly. When he came to the earth, How was this known? What did he do? When he came to the earth, he was anointed. Luke 4:18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. Because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. To preach, listen now, to announce the acceptable year of the Lord. The word acceptable year, that means favor. In other words, every debt is paid. The word acceptable year means that your sins are forgiven. What do you mean? So I say, why are you always talking sins forgiven? That's the gospel. The moment that is taken away from the gospel, you are left with the law. He says to preach the acceptable year of the Lord because he came. Listen now. So he says to preach. And so as Jesus stepped in the scene, pay attention. In Matthew 4:23, in Mark 1:14, he goes from place to place preaching it. Matthew 4:23, Mark 1:14. He goes from place to place preaching it. Listen carefully. The present day ministry of Jesus is what he has done. So to us, we see it. He has become our advocate. He has become our propitiation. He has become the intercession for our sins. Now, look at something. Pay attention. In Matthew chapter 10 verse 1, Luke 9 and Luke 10 verse 1 each, and Mark 6 verse 12 and 13. I'll take it again. Mark 6 verse 9, 10 and 11. Then 12 and 13. Read from verse 8. No. Mark 6 from verse 5 to verse 13. Luke 9 from verse 1 to 5. Luke 10 from verse 1 to 5. Matthew 10 from verse 1 to 5. What does he do? He says, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Then he calls his own disciples. Then he says, go everywhere and tell people. So, what Jesus has done, okay, what is he doing now? What's on his mind now is that what he has done should be told to people. He told his disciples to go everywhere and go talk about it. Tell people what I've done, who I am. In Matthew 28, quickly. Matthew 28, Jesus Christ. Verse 19. It says, all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Matthew 28, 18 first. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Teaching them, verse 20, I skipped the word baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Holy Ghost because I've disputed that for you. Verse 20. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. So, Jesus says, I am with you for how long? Always. We saw that in first service. Always, all the time. So he says, go and teach, or make disciples of every nation. The word to teach is the word didasko, D-I-D-A-S-K-O. It means to instruct, or better still, to direct people. The word disciples means, or to make disciples, means to have students, to raise students. Matthew 13:52, Matthew 27:27, Matthew 13:52, Matthew 27:27, and Acts 14:21. Pay attention. So, believing the gospel, listen now, is equal to being a student of the gospel. That's why when you come to church, they ask you at the door, where's your Bible? Where's your writing material? This is not a shopping mall. It's not a film house. It's not where you come and say, oh, I had a great time. If you come to this church and you had a great time, I'm sure you didn't pay attention. You shouldn't have a great time. You came to learn. So, what he has done has now become a study. It becomes a study. We begin to study. We study. We find out what he has done. To make disciples means to make students. Those that you teach. So, listen carefully to this. I'm going to say this later. When you go to people to tell them about Jesus, never be in a hurry. Because the word didasco means to explain. To make your audience to learn. So it's not good enough. And that's why a lot of people just answered altar calls. Altar call is not salvation. Say after me. No. Why would you? I was teaching a class during the week and many of them who were pastors, I asked the question. When you preach the gospel, say there's, oh, number one, there's nowhere in the Bible where altar calls were made. There was no altar anyway. So there was none. So then what happened? The moment you preach the gospel, and a man heard or hears the gospel, there are two things that happen. It's either he believes it, or he doesn't believe it. And don't forget, the gospel is not God will do something new in your life. Do something marvelous in my life. Something, no. It's not Jesus the game changer. Give me some other sermons, you know. It's in the boat of your life. He will calm your storms. No. And then you have seen love storms you thought about early today. Say, you want him to calm your storm? Come. So the keyboard is playing, your emotions are high. So, come as you are. The pastor says, so say after me. Ask the pastor, who is you? Who is you? In my secondary school, the very first day. You know the joke, come on, you know the joke. Not a joke, it's a true life story. Two parents. They argue with themselves. So who is you? Yes, two parents. Do you know who is me? So I nicknamed the first time, who is you? Second one, who is me? So, say after me. Heavenly Father, I come to you, in the name of Jesus, accept me, take me, wash me, amen. Father, I bring these ones, what's just that drama for? I bring these ones before you. They are humble, you know their heart. Accept them. Sorry, sir. There's one mediator between God and man. The man, Christ Jesus. And sir, he needs no deputy. His work is done. Hallelujah. People believe. Praise God. That's all. When they come out, if they heard the gospel, their coming out is not the believing. They had believed when they started. Praise God. We can have people come out so we can write their names so that we can follow them up. But you see, the gospel is what guarantees salvation, not the prayer. For example, if this morning I came here and I'm preaching, and I'm saying, somebody has asked me, why don't you give altar calls in your church? Let's assume an unbeliever comes to this place. What we preach every Sunday, is it enough for him to be saved? Yeah. You get my point? It's the gospel. We just ensure every service We preach Christ. Hallelujah. We don't have to tell a guy to tell a lie. I believe. He died for me. Something he didn't hear. You do the sermon, they said, your talent. Where is your talent? What are you doing with your talent? When you get before God tomorrow, what are you going to say about your talent? You can lie. I remember Mark Zuckerberg. He told us in the gospel. There was one woman in my office in the gospel. The way you are done. If you are here today, God will give your life to Christ. Just come and give it. How shall they call on him whom they have not heard? They haven't heard Christ. Hallelujah. Praise God. Are you still there? So the message is what guarantees that there's faith for salvation. So what do we do? He says to make disciples, to explain to people the gospel. Luke 24:47. Are you there? Come on, are you there? Luke 24:47. And the repentance, which means remission of sins, should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. The word preached is the word keruso. K-E-R-R-U-S-O. So, no, K-E-R-U-S-O. K-E-R-U-S-O. It means to proclaim. Keruso will mean an event. You are announcing an event. You are talking about something that has happened. To preach. So, what is in the mind of Jesus Christ now? It is not who becomes Nigeria's president in 2019. It is not who becomes the local government chairman of your local government. It's not what's going to happen to diesel supply in Lagos. Father, what are you looking at? No. Pay attention now. It is not, what did I say? Okay. It's not, look at the state of education. Brethren, what are we doing about it? Church, are we going to sit there? We should start doing great things. Like starting a school. Okay, start from crèche. That's not in the mind of Jesus. Brethren, what's going on? Unbelievers are taking over the manufacturing business. What are we doing about it? Let's go and break the bank. Brethren, how can you allow a Muslim to be president of your nation? Is your light shining? Jesus should have overthrown Herod. All those crap that people preach is not the gospel. I call it crap, so give it to Loma. Don't forget. Acts 1:8, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come on you. And you shall be witnesses of who? Me. Pay attention now. What did he mean by that? Luke 24:48. You are witnesses of this thing. What thing? Verse 46. Christ indeed must suffer for 3 days and be raised from the dead. The third day. Sorry. Must suffer and then be raised from the dead. Verse 46. So, we are witnesses of the death of Jesus, his burial, his resurrection, and ascension to the right hand of God. That is what we preach. Which we said in the morning is what? It is the intercession against sin. Can you remember that? So, he gives that his present day ministry in the earth today is to make that known. The present day ministry of Jesus today is to make it known. In Acts 2:37-38, they asked the question, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter said, repent. It means change your mind. And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will receive, for the remission of sins, pardon me, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So the church kept preaching the same thing. The church kept preaching the same thing in spite and despite. Well, let's say something now. Economic situations changed. Things changed. At the point, there was persecution against the church. There were different scenarios in the book of Acts, but watch this. What they were saying never changed. People grew older. Peter, in the book of Acts, for example, the apostles, for example, Paul must have grown 18 years more in ministry. Or more, about 20 years actually. Peter must have grown 15, 20 years. But none of them changed what they were saying. Situations changed in their nation. Obviously, there was a time it was politically fine for the church. There was a time it was not. There was a time it was economically good. But the point, it wasn't good. But wait. Nothing changed what they were saying. None at all. So, in Acts chapter 4, verse 33. Acts 4:33. With great power gave the Lord the apostles witness of the resurrection, and great grace was upon them. Acts 4:33. What were they witnessing? Come on, Acts 4:33. What were they witnessing to? What were they witnessing to? Same thing. Message in Acts 2, Acts 4, look at Acts 5. Acts 5:42. Let's take it together now. Acts 5:42. We're in the book of Acts now. Quickly, let's go. And daily in the temple and every house, they ceased not to teach and preach what? Nothing changed. They preached Jesus Christ. Acts 6:4. What happened in Acts 6:4? The widows were complaining of neglect. Oh, they're not giving us food. Oh, it's not going around. Oh, they gave me 7-Up, not Coke. You know, things were going bad. And some guys can come to church for that. Now, don't go to that church again and say, why? Imagine. Last time I went there, I didn't take breakfast. I asked somebody for breakfast. He gave me, what did the man say? I'm joking with you. But that's why I'm not going. But I like that other church. A friend of mine told me, he said, the man told him, he said, why are you struggling? Why is your church struggling? That is the other church. We bring air-conditioned buses. We break fast. As you are entering, they give you break fast. You see your tummy. And the church service is short. 1 hour. As they are going again, they give them lunch. Say, you are here. You are quoting scriptures. Let's see it again. Tarazo. No, it's Talazo. Hallelujah. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. That's the power of God unto salvation. Hallelujah. They were preaching the same thing. Jesus Christ. Look at Acts 7, Acts 6. So, the apostle said, it is not verse 2, good for us to leave the word of God and be providing Indomie on the streets. Come at that. It's not good for us to leave the message and act like Red Cross. Red Cross is good, no doubt, but that's not the gospel. It's not good for us to leave the gospel and then begin to offer scholarships. No, that's not the gospel. It's not good for us to leave the gospel and then start a school. That's not the gospel. It's not good for us to leave the message and give people, I said Indomie already, what do I have? Huh? Pizza. Nah. Seminar. Well, you know about that. Seminar. Tomorrow's seminar is going to be on how to develop your skills for entrepreneurship. That's Paul in Ephesus. On Tuesday, we're going to be talking to women. What I'm telling the women now, how to rise in this recession and use your women's skills. On Wednesday, we talk to the youth, using your energy to produce innovations. Habakkuk 10:10. It's not good for us to leave the word of God and sell tables. Is there anything wrong in doing seminars for business? No. But it's not the gospel. That's all. Nothing wrong in doing, I mean, I do that. I used to do it. I've not had time. I still intend to. I teach people business things. I teach them things here and there, but not on the pulpit and not after God. Praise God. Is that clear? It's not good. We leave the word of God and serve tables. So they equated, you know, the message, what they were doing as the word of God. That's what God asked us to say. Acts 8. Philip went down to Samaria and he preached Christ in verse 5 and 6. He preached what? He preached who? He preached what? He preached who? Now, to know the kind of thing Philip did, he now meets an Ethiopian Enoch. In those days, an Enoch was a high governmental official, someone well known. He's a man of influence and affluence. When you see chariots, it's because today you don't know what chariot is. A chariot of those days would mean a car of high regard. Philip didn't have one. He went down to Samaria. You know what that means? So, he sees a guy in a car. He doesn't have a car. He didn't even go to Marwa. So he sees the car. He doesn't get into the car and says, "Sir, I like your car. I've always admired you. God has blessed you. Now, you even have a Bible. I know that the way I can see your promotion in life is because you have the scriptures. Japan is where they are today because they copied the concern of America. America copied it from the Bible. You see what we are saying? There must be a foundation. There's so much nonsense people say, I just laugh. The foundation. That's it. We have to go back to the roots. Sir, I believe in you. I believe in you. Can you be a partner to our ministry? Philip said, "Understand thou what you read." You know, in those days, that's an insult to an intellectual. An Enoch. The man now said, "How can I except someone should explain to me?" Bible says, Philip, beginning from that same scripture, he preached economic development. He preached Christ Jesus to the man. Hallelujah. The message doesn't change. He preached it. What's in the mind of God today is that we preach. People need to hear it. Acts 9:31. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost, and they were multiplied. Quickly look at 35. And all that dwelt at Lydia and Saron saw him and turned to the Lord. Verse 35. And verse 42 now says, it was known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. It came to pass that he tarried many days in Joppa with one Simon a Tanner. He believed in the Lord. Things were said towards the salvation of people's lives. In the house of Cornelius, as Peter yet spoke in verse 44, the Holy Ghost fell on Cornelius and all his house. What was going on? Verse 43, Peter said to him, give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believes in him shall receive what? Remission of sins. Acts 11, verse 20 and 21. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Christians, preaching what? Preaching what? Lord Jesus. Verse 21. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Are you there? Are you there? Acts 13:38. The message being changed. Acts 13:38. Be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you, what? Forgiveness of sins. So, forgiveness of sins is preached. What Christ has done, who he is preached. Verse 48. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad. and glorified the word of the Lord, for as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. Again, what was being preached? Jesus Christ raised from the dead for forgiveness of sins. What is in the mind of Jesus now? Preach my ministry. Preach what I'm doing. Preach what I am. Preach who I am. Praise God. If Jesus were to have a Facebook page, every time they ask him, what's on your mind? He says, salvation of souls. That's all. He won't talk about elections of America, elections of the United Kingdom, elections of Nigeria. He won't talk about capital market, the price of the exchange rate, the price of garri or the price of fish. He's not going to talk about it. He's going to talk about what he has done and how men should hear it. You see this now. You will see men give anything to do this. What was it that made the apostles what they were? Acts 5, 41. I said I was going to come back there. Acts 5. Watch this and closely so. Acts 5. In verse 40, to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, wow, he gave them, you know, beating them, they mean they slap them. When they call you out and then they ask the guys and the soldiers to beat you, or they ask people in authority to beat you, I'm not sure you would dust it. You know how to dust? When I was in the boarding house, we learned how to dust. You know, dust. Sometimes you put in something in your backside, like an exercise book. That's if you are not smart. Because if the senior goes pump, and then he hears the sound, then you are in trouble. So some of us now learn a better skill. As if about the beach, you go up like it. So the velocity, you know, it increases as it's going, it just comes pump, then you meet it halfway. So the strength, you understand what I'm saying? So, I knew that as a junior student, when I became a senior, I'll wait for you to land. When you land, and I'll go, what? You get it. So, I'm not sure they would have dusted this one. Alright. Said, and they commanded that they should not speak in the name of the Lord Jesus and let them go. That's what they told them. People in authority, if I hear you, preach Jesus again. No full place. And they led the parents of the council rejoice. Hallelujah. If you hear about joy in the book of Acts, it's either joy because of salvation or joy for persecution. Today is joy because my wife has given birth to a child. Man, I got a breakthrough. Joy in the book of Acts was the joy of salvation or joy of suffering for his name. See that? They were so glad that he can suffer shame for his name. He didn't go to call an uncle in the Senate. See what they are doing to our church. He said, we must not preach. I said, we'll deal with them. We'll sponsor a deal. Who are you serving? You hear that? You are glad. Whoa! Glory! They called you a fool. Say, my God, thank you, Jesus, for that. Praise God. You need to call me a fool. I said, thank you, Jesus. I said, if you repeat that again, I'll give you dirty slap. In the name of Jesus. Verse 42. And daily in the temple and in every house, they what? Cease not to preach and teach Jesus. Glory to God. They didn't stop. Persecution doesn't stop a man that is convinced. Hallelujah. I was so glad yesterday, you know, I was teaching these pastors who were in a Muslim nation. I almost mentioned it. And I saw the gladness, you know, they're under persecution. They can't even meet publicly. And we had to arrange a way to be holding a Bible study. And you know, and the way they were screaming, glory. They're saying, glory. And I'm wondering, wow. No air conditioners. No, I mean, and they believe the same Jesus. One elderly man. He's about 84 or so. He said, you know what? He said, you are my brother and you are also my son. I said, yeah, Papa. I love you. Said, Jesus Christ has taken our sins forever. I said, glory, glory. Then you see they're glad. They're glad to go on the streets in spite of the government persecution to preach about Jesus. You here, we're here. You'll say, hallelujah. He's our intercessor. Glory! And that's all to it. You go out that day and talk about Chelsea. Of all things. Tell you what I was to say. You know, they have, you see the joy all over their faces. They're so happy. So glad to hear about Jesus. There was one man, heard them, I said, Jesus! He just smiles. Praise God. And we are here in all the comfort. So is it? That's what I see talking. He uses 2 hours normally. I know he used to. Are you under persecution? Now where are you going from here? You want to go and see a friend? What else? You want to go and lie down and watch television? I'm glad to hear about you. And tell others about Jesus. They were so glad to be called names for Jesus. Paul in Acts 14 verse 19 and 20. He was stoned and taken for dead. Hallelujah. Remember one time in 1995, I wanted to preach somewhere. And the woman said, what do you want to say again? We said Jesus. Say what you wait. I was. You know when you grind pepper, that water that comes out. I was even talking. My other brother had moved far. I didn't even see. He just went. He was on the main road. I said, what did this guy do? He started to rain curses. Because we had a disciple in the house. And I walked away. That night, I came back again. Remember one Muslim family, very big Muslim family house in Ikorodu then. The man was the Baba Dini. The day the man said, where is that Brother Emmanuel? I hear he's in his house. And that's my name, Brother Emmanuel. Because that's the name his daughter gave me. So he said, what do I do? They have to dress me up like a woman. He said, I was okay. So I had to walk out of the house. Another time like that, I went somewhere. And I had to go over a fence. As I landed to one sacrifice. Oh! At least I had to run for the life. Hallelujah. There was one time like I went for another one. I just said, I said, bro, what's happening? He said, it looks like stones. I mean, my slippers is still there. But I'm so glad, praise God, that the name of Jesus is my joy. I love to tell the world about Jesus. Anywhere I get to in the world, I tell them he is their savior. I tell them he died for their sins. I am not ashamed of the gospel. The present day ministry of Jesus is that we talk about him to the world. Praise God. So let me close by saying a couple of things. Amen. And when we preach Christ, what do we tell men? 2 Corinthians 5 and 18. You don't take a megaphone and say, are you here? Are you still drinking beer? Are you here? The woman in your house, you know what? Your sins will find you out. Are you here? Look at you. Take your life. Early in the morning. Megaphone. I'm making noise. I'm standing with the boss. Good morning. At 2 o'clock. Good morning, Lord. I know you. Now, before you laugh, make sure you preach in the bus yourself. Then in the bus, you have something here. It's better you get up and say, I'm ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Oh, good morning. No. We're not told to go to the wall. To ever tell them that Jesus is against them, we tell them that Jesus is for them. He didn't ask you to go into all the world and preach sin. He said, preach the gospel about sin. Christ is the intercessor. 2 Corinthians 5:18.
Are you there?
What is your ministry as a Christian? Say, my Jesus' ministry is salvation.
My own is dominion.
If you ask Jesus, what is your ministry? Would he say entrepreneurship? Would he say any other thing but salvation?
No.
He will say salvation. Say, I have the ministry of Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Let's take verse 18 together. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by will, and has given to us what? The ministry of reconciliation. To wit, God was in Christ. Let me start from 18. The word reconciliation is the word katalasso. Katalasso means to exchange value. In other words, when you see something in the market, and then you go there, and then you say, I put a price on this. They say, how much? Maybe it's a pair of slippers that was made somewhere close to Ojodi. Say, I put $1 million on this. Then people laugh. Why can you put $1 million on it? And everybody knows now that you are a multi-billionaire. Then you say, I put my money on it. You know, no matter how we see that slippers, pair of slippers, the price has changed. Is that right? That's why Alex Ferguson sold chewing gum. £23,000. Chewing gum. That's what it is. That's what it is. Michael Jackson stopped and sold, you know, because he won. He put value on this thing. Now, what does God do? He comes to the world and he puts a price on everybody. And he himself is that price. Hallelujah. He reconciled us through his son. So God has placed value on the world. By the death of his son, he now gives you that ministry. Not to go around and tell people, see your life! See your life! No.
See Jesus. Who died for you. Who rose for you. For your justification.
Verse 18. Look at 19. Let's take verse 19 together. To wit, God, everybody come on, let's go. To wit, God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, and not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us what? God is not counting sins. Why? Because he has reconciled himself to the world in his son. We need to tell the whole world this. This is the present day ministry of Jesus. The world must hear. Let me close finally by saying, why won't a believer talk to people about Jesus? Number one, maybe he's not saved. I remember when I got born again, it's close to 30 years now, and I received eternal life. I wanted to tell everybody. That evening was a Sunday evening. I went out to talk to people about Jesus. Maybe you are not saved. Because if you are saved, you want to tell people. The moment that woman heard about Jesus, she saw Jesus in John 4. She left her water pot and went to tell everybody. Say, I met a man that told me all I ever did. A Saul of Tarsus got up from that vision and Ananias laid hands on him. He went to the synagogue straight away preaching Jesus. When a man is not inspired to share the gospel, maybe he has not believed it himself. Number two. Maybe you have refused to grow as a believer. I'll leave that for another day. Number three. Maybe you don't study the scriptures. Maybe you spend more time on magazines and television and talking with friends and hanging out. Then you come to church on Sunday briefly and you escape just to fulfill all righteousness. Maybe. Why wouldn't you tell people about Jesus? Why? Or maybe you are distracted
where lives appears. Maybe you are, or maybe you are just ignorant. But either way, brothers and sisters, there's a present day ministry of Jesus upon us. The world must hear. And I'm committed in my lifetime. There is no nation in the world that we as a church will not take the gospel to. No nation in the world. Yesterday evening I reconsecrated myself and I said, Lord, I will do this for you. Everyone in Saudi Arabia, Iraq, Iran, Bahrain, Yemen, the Palestinians, everyone will hear about you. And it will happen. It will happen. We're grateful for China. Over 300 million born again. More than the continent of believers in the whole of Africa, Europe, and America. Over 300 million. We trust the Lord. Things going on in Saudi Arabia, Pakistan, Iraq, Iran, will keep going on. What would you say you have done? Come to church on Sunday, first service, then go second service. You don't even attend more than one service a week. What would you say you do? What else can you do for someone who loved you without you praying about it? What else can you do for someone who is God, became a man, was insulted by his own creatures, he was assaulted, he counted everything nothing because of you? What else can you do for one who has done everything? Why don't you share the gospel in your office, in your school? Why don't you share the gospel around people around you? Why didn't you share the gospel? Is it that you don't believe it? Pastor Christopher Akinleme says this. He said there's a conviction that drives the mouth to always talk about the gospel. I believe. I'm committed to the gospel of Jesus. I'm committed to the present day ministry of Jesus. Let's bow our heads and let's pray. What are you doing with the gospel? 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 Let's bow our heads, everybody. Come on. Bow your heads. It means bowing. What are you doing with the gospel? If you are saved, why don't you tell others about it? What makes it difficult for you to put it out on Facebook, on Twitter, Instagram? What makes it difficult for you to tell people about it everywhere you get to? Are you ashamed of Jesus? Are you ashamed to tell the world that He is the one that can save? This is His ministry, church. He has not sent His Son to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Do you tell people about this? Do you preach your church? You preach your pastor, or you preach Jesus Christ? Preach in Saints Community Church and telling them how wonderful your church is. It's not the gospel. The gospel is God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself. He is not angry at you. He is not angry at you. He loves you. That's the gospel. He died for your sins. The gift of no condemnation. This morning, 1:15, July the 9th, I want to see you commit yourself for the remaining part of this year to preach Christ everywhere. Make that commitment this morning, this afternoon, 1:15, June 9th. 2017. Here, Saints Community Church, 6 Always Street, Yaba. I want you to make that commitment. You don't have to know all scriptures to do this. No. Just the fact that you are saved is enough that someone else should be. Let's sing that song together as a church. We're changing lives. We're changing lives.